Okay. Good evening, everyone. This is a special meeting of the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee. It is Thursday, September 19th at 5:35 p.m. Pacific, 8:35 p.m. Eastern Time. My name is Tracy Rosenberg. I'm a listener rep from KPFA and the chair of this committee. We're going to start out our meeting this evening by calling the roll. Our secretary is R. Paul Martin. If he is on the call, he will take that over. If not, I will do it for him. R. Paul, are you here? Okay. He hasn't quite made it yet. So let me go ahead and call the roll. We have Michael Novak. Okay, not here yet. John Crumshaw. Okay. Barbara Whippleman.
Yes, here.
Okay. Tracy Rosenberg, I'm here. Jim Boyd.
Here.
Richard Uzel.
Here.
Marcus Jenner.
Here.
Tony Norman.
Present.
Okay. R. Paul Martin. Nana J. Saba. Raul Salvador.
Here.
Okay, and so that is seven members and a quorum. We do have with us as a guest as well the, I don't know the title. Let's go with the acting general manager at WPFW, Michelle Price.
Here.
Thank you.
I'm here.
Welcome, and I'm sorry if I botched the appropriate title. I just wasn't sure, but you are acting in that position for now.
Yeah, acting interim, either one. They're fine, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Welcome aboard, and it's nice to have you here to talk about the PFW budget with us.
Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I just want to make sure we get started. No, I didn't know if you were ready for me to say anything yet.
No, not yet. I was just letting people know that
you're
both the people on the committee and also the people on the stream. We sometimes have an audience, so it's good to
talk. Okay, well, yes, I'm here.
No, we'll get started in a minute. We have a little procedural stuff with the agenda and the minutes that we have to work through first.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so to move forward with this meeting, there's no real agenda for this meeting. This is a special meeting dedicated specifically to the WPFW budget. So what I'm going to propose is simply an agenda that would cover any outstanding minutes that we have, and I don't believe that we have any, and then would move into a full discussion of the PFW agenda, following the protocol that we've been following for all the budgets. Is there any modifications for the agenda or any objections? Okay, would someone like to move approval?
Jim, vote for approval.
Okay, who just joined us?
Hi, manager, hi.
Hi, manager, welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, so Jim is moving for approval. Are there any objections to approving the agenda? Okay, so we have one piece of business. Our secretary, R. Paul Martin, who almost never misses a meeting, is not with us. I anticipate that he'll join us at some point, since he's pretty good about saying if he's not going to be able to, but we will need a temporary secretary until he arrives. Is anyone willing to volunteer for that task? Please?
Oh, God. I'm not real good at this. This is Jim. If I can get the notes through our Paul so we can put them up in form, I can take down basically. I'm going to have trouble if we have major revisions to the budget.
Right.
You'll have to catch me as much as you can.
There'll be a recording, so you can...
Sure.
Yeah, my guess is that R. Paul will join us because he doesn't usually not attend without saying something, so we may just be dealing with, phone problems or something temporary. But
if you could keep track of at least the votes and the vote count, if we get to that point, Jim, the rest of it, I think, can probably be filled in from the recording. So.
Got it.
Thank you so much. Because that I can't do and share the meeting at the same time. Okay, good. All right, so Marcus Jetter is the treasurer from Washington, D.C. Has he joined us yet?
He answered on roll call.
Hello?
No, I don't.
Yes,
Marcus, are you there?
I am here.
Oh, good. Okay, good. So we have everyone here from WPFW. So for the purposes of both the stream and also for Michelle, who hasn't done this with us before, I'm just going to go through the spiel of sort of how we go through a budget review, just in terms of the phases. I'll do it as quickly as possible. We start off by hearing from, in order, the station's GM or interim GM, then the LSB treasurer, then the other PNB member from the station. Basically, what we're asking you to do is in 10 minutes or less, and don't feel obligated to take the entire 10 minutes. We basically just want you to give us an overview of the budget and direct our attention to aspects of it that you think we should pay attention to. Things that are important, things that are different, things that are on a station priority. And it's pretty much up to you what you want to highlight. It's to sort of guide our conversations a bit. So we'll go to the three of you in sequence. Then we'll move into a sort of a question and answer session from the committee. And the questions and answers are basically focused on parts of the budget that are not clear to you, that you would like additional information on, or where you're not really understanding what the numbers look like. Then we move on to what we call temperature taking, which is where we get into comments, levels of comfort with the budget, concerns, things that committee members think may need to be adjusted or modified, if they feel that way. And then following temperature taking, we will go to a vote.
Can I just note this, Michael, over there, and I must have dialed something wrong.
Michael?
I got music for about 5 minutes.
Yeah, and we may get all the way through that process tonight, or we may just get halfway or two-thirds, and that just depends. And if we need to move into a continuation meeting and schedule one, we will do so, or perhaps we will get to completion and be able to pass our recommendation on the budget onto the PNB tonight. So I hope that's clear. And Michelle, if you're ready, we'll hear what you want to tell us.
Okay, well, hello. Thank you so much for having me. I do want to say that I first looked at the budget today, earlier today, with Raul, and he kind of led me through some of the numbers. Looking at the increase in revenue for this year, I saw, in going over it with me, we saw that it was a 20% jump over what that was taken in last year, a 20% increase. And that kind of concerned me, and I looked at some of the areas. But I want to say that we do have some initiatives that I'm planning. And so where there are monies that are written that are on the budget already listed, I've got to go back a little bit through it with the staff to see if some of these numbers are pie in the sky or are they actual numbers that we can get. But overall, with some of the other things that I'm putting into place to get more money coming in other than from from fund drives, I'm thinking that we can make this budget, but I think that some of the items would be a little different. So I just want to kind of say that up front.
Okay, I think it bears mentioning that Michelle was not fully involved in the creation of this budget. She's inheriting it. So we're very interested in your thoughts moving forward about what works and what may not work and what we need to look at.
The other thing, I just want to say that up front because I wanted to get more so from the committee what their concerns are and things before I say specifically, because a lot of these, I'm not sure where the numbers came from. I've already gotten some historical information, and some of it doesn't quite jive together. And Raul was very clear with me about a lot of it, and I actually talked with Tiffany at the station. And some of the things, if everybody's looking,
And I'm just trying to make sure I'm aware of the forum. These are my 10 minutes? is that true? Okay. Well, if you look over at the line item, let's see. They're called donations. I guess that would be line item 11. Before now, this $1,000 a month, that doesn't really exist at this level. Also, the website income at $3,000, $3,000, $12,000, those numbers don't exist currently at that level. And so they were an aggressive move, and I'm not quite sure. And as I dig a little further, I find out if John had something that he was planning to do, but that those numbers didn't exist in this current year or last year. So I'm not sure where those came from. That being said, a lot of the things going forward that I have planned for the station, I've already talked with some grant writers. We're already looking at some potential grants that would help us out quite a bit with the funding. The numbers can be made, but I just want to get just a temperature from the committee about what you guys would like to see specifically from me with the budget that we already have. Because I would like to do some other things to it, but again, I'm seeing this today. So that's where I am.
Okay. That sounds fair, and I think some of that will probably come out in the question and answer session as well.
Okay.
I hope that you'll pay for it.
Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. Marcus, do you want to sort of take it from here and tell us what you would like us to know and like us to pay attention to? And also, of course, the LSP process is always good to be apprised of.
Yeah. I think our interim GM made some good points, most all of which I agree with. I was hoping Raul would be on the phone because this budget was created.
I am on the phone.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
I was going to defer to Raul to present the budget because he and John Hughes really developed this budget, and he has a lot more information than me on the origins of the data and the intent.
I'll be happy to, Marcus.
Great. If that's okay with the chair.
Absolutely. We talked this morning. We talked earlier today, so that's fine with me. He went over a lot of it with me, and it was just the concern of the 20% jump as compared to, I think, the other stations in the network are under a 10% jump in increase. And for a station that's kind of going through a rocky period, I'm pretty sure that we can do that number, but it may not come in the line items that are listed. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? So I just wanted to be clear about those things. Okay.
We do, and we're interested in the line items being as accurate as possible. So part of what we can do here is if we feel like some of the line items are sort of misapplied, is we can take a look at correcting that. So that's an option.
Yeah, that's
good. Okay. So why don't we do this? I heard you, Marcus, that you want Raul to address some of this. Why don't we go to Tony Norman, who's the PNB member, just so we keep the usual order. Then we'll go to Raul and hear what he has to say, and then we'll go into Q&A.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we worked on this budget in the Finance Committee, the LSB Finance Committee. And of course, Raul and John did a lot of the heavy lifting on some of it. But I think it's relatively, looking at the actuals, it's relatively conservative. I don't think that, as Michelle pointed out, it might be a 20% increase in revenue, which I think we could handle a little bit. But, and it went through, the Finance Committee approved it, and then it went to the LSB, which we did have a moot. In fact, the majority of the LSB approved. In fact, the overwhelming majority of the LSB approved. That may have been one or two no votes, maybe even just one. But the biggest difference is we're trying to bring all of our staff back up to full pay. We have a relatively small staff, but only, I think it's only maybe 7 or 8 full-time, and bringing them back up to full pay with some other adjustments, which is something that we've been trying to do over the last year. And I think it's a relatively conservative budget. I think it's doable. As you all mentioned, maybe that we can do some touch-ups on a few of the line items. But I'm very pleased with it. I think that it's very doable, and I think it's a very successful process under the circumstances, since we were in the middle of a civil war, but and I think we got together and unified to come up with a consensus budget that the majority, 2/3 of the LSB supported. So I mean it's a little bit optimistic on that 20% increase in revenue, but I think it's relatively conservative when you look at our actual numbers. So I think under the circumstances, I'm pleased with where we are. Thank you. I'm good.
Okay, sounds good. Raul, whatever you'd like to contribute?
Certainly. Yes. John and I work on this budget, and there was a thought process, and mostly the ideas came from John, and mostly it's the thought process is that we kind of wanted to reincarnate WPFW, which means that we needed to bring up the revenue level of WPFW to a more achievable and more feasible level, and make some changes and add some hours to the existing manpower who are currently working on part-time or a 0.75% of their hours, and bring that back up to 100% for 5 of the personnel. And most of those personnel are coming from programming and development departments that would really help and boost the revenue levels to what is projected for 2014. That's kind of like the thought process. That together with the expenses that are being boosted up are part of the plan of John so that we could achieve that level. Listener support is being projected to go at a 1.4 million level, which has been done in the past, except that the last couple of years it has gone down tremendously because of the reduction of some of the manpower hours, and they have not been able to achieve those. There were some issues, but the current FTE right now, we stand with 5 of the people that are working about 65 to 75%, are currently at the about nine FTEs, 9.1 FTEs. We're bringing it back up to 12.8 FTEs. So that will be a difference in the payroll and benefits items. And in order to do this, you know, this I would say semi-aggressive based on the current performance, we needed to spend some money on personnel and some money on continuously doing on the premiums at the level that's acceptable by the local board and finance committee. Having said that, there are also some expenses during the process of WPFW's transition to their new offices. There was some reduction of expenses in rent, and that currently would be saving about $50,000 a year. And that would be part of the reduction of the expenses being implemented at the WPFW. In addition, so if we go down the line items, you will see some increases in line items, not a lot, but there were major reduction expenses in office rent and utilities as well. So we could go down and have, if you have any questions, we'll be happy to address those. And that's kind of the thought process that John was implementing on this budget. And I was with him doing this. I was providing him guidance at the same time, providing some technical assistance on how to work the budget template, because it was very complicated. Now, on the revenue side, it was built on the premise that there were this 2014 revenue levels would be built on five fund drives, including the current drive for September of 2013, part of the fund drive for this current month. Part of that revenue would probably be received in October and November of this year, which is part of the 2014 fiscal year. And then there are four other drives that are scheduled by John, and with about 80% fulfillment ratio, that's how we determine the $1.4 million. So there are some detailed computation on how we arrive at that $1.4 million. And as I have said, Michelle is pretty new to this. Obviously, this was worked all together up to like after Friday when we were preparing, John and I were preparing for this presentation. Michelle was just briefed this week on this today on the details of the budget. So I told her that this is coming from John, and I have given the Finance Committee a heads up on the situation that we are currently in with one manager inheriting a previous manager's thought process. So, and that's where kind of what needed to be addressed. And if there are any questions, we'll be happy to address those questions. That's my 10 minutes.
Okay. Thank you, Raul. So I guess with that, we will go to question and answer from the committee. Is there anyone who needs another copy of the file? Okay.
Okay.
Is there anyone who needs another copy of the file? We were sent it, I believe, last night. Okay. We had received it also from Marcus some weeks ago, but we received another copy from Raul.
And it was in the Yahoo group as well.
Right. Okay. I should share that I have received some questions from a member of the WPFW LSB and the PNB, and I am going to ask those questions on behalf of that individual, but we don't need to do that right off. We'll start with questions from the committee first, and then we'll work our way over to those. And I also have a couple of my own. So I'll take a stat for question and answer.
Michael Levick.
Okay. Anybody else want to be on the stack? Okay. We'll start with Michael.
I kind of got your explanation about the listener support, although it seems like it is higher than this past year. Looking at the year to date, I was wondering about the expense end. Personnel costs are up. I understand that's you're saying you're restoring people to full time, but almost everything else is trimmed. And I'm wondering, sort of how you anticipate achieving that. It's like $100,000 off the administrative expenses and $40,000 off the programming and $60,000 off the development. Is there some particular economies that are built in?
Okay. Let me say, as a process, generally the LSB treasurer is the entity that answers questions sort of as the NFC member, but if the LSB treasurer doesn't feel equipped to answer the question, then any of the folks from WPFW should hop in there.
I would defer to Raul. This is
Mark.
Okay.
Yeah, I would, because looking at the, and I just wanted to say, and I want to defer to Raul too, but in listening to both Tony and Raul and what they're saying about getting the staff at 100%, I 100% agree with that. I don't want to say that I disagree with the budget per se. I think that we can make these numbers, but it is a stretch, and not saying that I'm trying to be too conservative, but based on the actual numbers and the station having been losing, I mean, being not making budget for the last 2 years, to say that it would jump 20% in the coming year, I don't want to work at a deficit, and that's not part of my history. And coming in against what we have today, going into what's going to be on this budget, I am a little concerned. And as I said before, we've got some things in place, and I would like to have the opportunity to try to address some of those concerns before we finalize this budget. And I don't know if that's out of protocol, and I also that then that there may be something that we could change. But I just wanted to take a day just looking at the numbers and see how we could. I want to put a good budget together that I know that we can make and not work at a deficit, looking at having been at a deficit for the last 2 years, a decrease. So.
And we're all on the same page there.
Okay.
What I was asking really is that the personnel costs are up, but the total expenses are down compared to last year's budget. So I'm wondering how you anticipate achieving that.
Okay.
Yes.
That would be well.
Yes. The admin expenses, for one thing, is affected by a savings of $50,000 reduction in the office rent. We're moving into. We used to pay about $16,000 in the old place versus $12,000 that includes the utilities. The only caveat to that is I think we are on a temporary lease with them, and we're working out the details of long-term lease at this point, but. We are going to, and correct me if I'm wrong, Michelle, you were at the negotiation of this lease. As far as I got gathered from my conversation with John, I think they're still finalizing the long-term lease for that. But in the meantime, we are projecting to pay about $12,000,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. What we're paying for that right now. So that's about a $50,000 reduction in admin expense. Now, there were some benefits that were being paid, and there was a kind of a reconciliation of the health benefits. We were anticipating there was about a $30,000 shift on the benefits. We booked more expense in 2013 for this year. That's because we are having there was no sum payment, and we needed to adjust the actual forecasted amount on there. Nevertheless, that is the major shift or reduction in the admin expenses. And then you were talking about programming. The programming is kind of driven by the part of that is the FSRN. We are anticipating a lower CPB funding and hence a lower share of payments to FSRN. And that's about a $10,000 downshift to for 2014. And so, and we have some technical expenses, maintenance, and repairs in 2014 that we do not anticipate in 2014. So 2013 was kind of a bad year for maintenance and repairs. Hence, there was a reduction of about $5,000 on the repairs. And that's what we can gather for right now.
Okay, you're also showing like lower tower and utilities for the tower. Is that something that's been negotiated, or?
Yeah, well, the tower was actually the tower included the expenses for repairs at the tower site.
Okay.
And it, that's why it went up to about 15. So there's about $15,000 shift there.
Okay, thank you.
And then the development expenses is kind of driven again by a little bit higher, of a lower premiums that they're anticipating for this year. Again, just like other stations, we have this ratio issue with, and the plan is to control those premium expenses.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
Okay, who would like to be next on the stack?
It's Richard. I'll go next if you want me to.
Sure. Yep.
Okay, Raul, I have some questions for you, if you could, please. First off, I'd like to just say, just going in, that, you know, I don't want to be a bad guy and step on anybody's raise or anything like that. And I don't want to be a bad guy and say, you know, we're going to make this budget and do it on just on faith. But I may have to be that bad guy. First question I have is, why are all the capital items blank in this on this form that you sent out, bro?
It was John's suggestion not to put in there any capital expenses in there.
So you're not going to have to buy anything this year?
I don't know. If he had consulted with the architect, his technical people there. I probably have helped him build his budget and some of the expenses, but on the justification, I'm not really able to provide that to you.
It seems like a very big hole.
Yeah, but I did address that, except that he had no plans at that point. So.
Okay. Let me ask another question about the credit card. I think it's item 6576, credit card discount fee. Is that the credit card used during the fund drives?
Yes, that's just strictly for the donation, the lockbox, and credit card, yeah.
Now, you're showing that going up $4,000. But the listener support is coming down. Why would you have to pay more credit card fee if you're bringing in less money?
Richard, I think the listener support is going up also by $200,000. That's about 20% increase that we were talking about.
Well, in on item 5,000, the listener support, the over there in the yellow column for
just a moment. Your footings went above in the hood.
What's happening?
I don't know.
What's that? Okay. In that column that column in the yellow. Who's speaking? Okay.
This is the chair. I think it's just background noise, Richard. You should just keep on going.
Okay. The column, the yellow column there, it shows FY13. What is that, forecast or whatever that is?
Yeah, well,
I
sent out a separate forecast for 2013 because I don't know where that yellow was coming from. I think when they did this, he put in what he thinks was, and this could be from previous year. So what I did is I sent out a separate spreadsheet for the forecast of WPFW. to everyone, so to compare the 2014.
So how much was brought in by listener support in 2013?
$1,145,000. That's a projected, PFW is projecting to finish listener support at 1.145. So it's about a $270,000 increase, and that's what we're talking about, the increase.
Okay. You already said that the website income is based on a non-existing program. Is that correct?
Well, as I have talked to Michelle about this, there might have been some, and I was talking to John about this, there might have been some very, very minimal website income, but they were all lumped together into the listener support because they all go to the same bank account and we record revenue based on the actual receipt. So they didn't distinguish listener support from website income, but it's very minimal, yes.
I'd like to address some of that too, because I completely understand. That was kind of the point that I was making earlier.
Who is it? Who is this, Michelle?
Yes, this is Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. This is Richard Uzel.
Hey, hi, Richard. I did have some concerns, quite a bit of concern, when I saw this budget because of that yellow column and because of some of the things that were not existing that were listed, and you've addressed some of them. And going forward, before I would govern myself to this particular budget, I would like to have the opportunity to try to go through, because some of these things, just from working in radio and understanding how things flow, to increase, again, with the 1450 in column 5,000 for number 5, the forecast, as he said, is off by about almost $300,000, $270,000. So to say that it's going to go from 1450 to 1415 sounds, you know, doable. But in actuality, to go up $270,000 is a concern. Am I saying that we can do it? You know, I believe that we can, but I'm just not comfortable with that on the budget as it is. But I don't want to come into, if it's already been approved and I'm not sure what the approval process was with the LSB, I don't want to rock the boat that much, but that was a concern to me. But again, given a more than 24 hours, give me a day or two, I can try to figure out how some of these numbers came about that don't quite make sense to me as well right now.
Okay, this reason we're talking tonight is to decide whether we're going to approve it.
Yeah.
And send it on to the PMB.
Okay. I just wanted to put out that my suggestion would be if we could, I'll just go. I'll be silent. Okay.
Let me go on and ask some of these questions that I've come up with. Thank you. On the community events, that's an increase of $30,000, which is about what I wrote it down, about 150% or something like that. How will that come in? How will that happen?
Well, we were talking about this with Michelle earlier. John had a plan of conducting 4 community events. And I talked to Michelle about this. Apparently, John had a plan, and I think Michelle, if you know what those are and what your thoughts on those.
Well, yes, I spoke with Tiffany today to try to find out where these numbers came from, especially with the community event, because one of the things that needs to happen at the station is an increase in community participation as far as fundraising, you know, doing events for fundraisers.
That's good.
She listed a couple of things that they already have going on, but again, from as you can see what the year is for this year, these are all kind of hopes. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
There's nothing that's historical. And so that was kind of a problem for me, because if there's nothing historical, we could put kind of anything in those blocks, and I don't want to start off doing that. So we do have a plan for some events going forward, but I don't know that I could stand by these particular numbers today. But they are based on what you see in that yellow column.
Because I think PFW's had trouble with those kind of events in the past. Sometimes they haven't gone very well and weren't planned very well. And I'm just wondering where the planning was at this point. And apparently there's really no planning at this point. Is that correct?
There's one event that's scheduled for October that we're partnering with someone else. But other than that, the events that are listed, not so much. There's not a lot of pre-planning right now that I can find. She was telling me about some ideas, but nothing that is hard. There's no hard facts right now.
Okay. And we're not a week out of October, so it is hard to do much more planning for October. I meant to ask this a while ago. Raul, I think you might know this. What is the, two things, Raul. What was this, how did the last year budget come into the end of the year? Is it in the red?
Yeah.
Is it in the red?
I'll let you know. Hang on a second. Right now we're projecting to be negative
$272,000. you know, I think it's kind of interesting. I talked a little bit about this. Maybe not on this call, but not on a call, but we come crashing into the end of the year with those big red numbers, and then it seems like a lot of folks just kind of go, okay, it's a new year, and we'll just, you know, we're going to come on and do something different. But whatever was budgeted for that $272,000 is being spent, or somebody plans on spending or has spent it. We're in that deep a hole. I think it's kind of unrealistic to start these budgets as if you're starting from zero, because we're not starting from zero, and we'll never get out of the hole if we think that way. And you know, that's $250,000 in a hole.
This is Tony. I want to make a few comments on that.
Okay.
Part of the reason we were in deficit from last, if you recall last year's budget, there were proposals of two or three full-time staff reductions. Now, that was in our budget last year. That was approved. But when it came to trying to reduce those staff, that was vetoed by the PNB and the executive directors. So that contributed greatly to the deficit. We had to readjust the budget. So I'm not saying that I was involved with that, but I'm just saying part of that was to balance the budget with staff reductions that didn't go through. Veto.
Okay, thank you. So this year, stacked on top of a budget that had reductions called for, and that didn't happen, this budget is calling for increasing payroll. It's increasing. It's talking about bringing people up to 100%. But
okay.
I don't see how you're going to bring any. I don't see how you're going to pay more if you don't make it more. And I don't see that I don't see that this is really showing that you're going to be making more. And then that. Like I said before, I don't think that $250,000 in the hole can just be ignored going into the year, which is next week or week after next.
Hey, Richard, this is Tracy. I hear you. I'm just saying I think we need to make some space for the rest of the committee, and, you know, we'll come back.
Yeah,
we have a conversation.
I've said all I need to say. Thank you.
Okay.
Who else from the committee wants to ask questions? Okay, well then I'll jump into the empty space. Just to let people know, this is kind of new this year. We haven't done this in the past, but I am entertaining questions from individuals who write to us. So we have had someone do so, so I'm just going to throw the questions out there so they can be answered on the stream. They're not my questions, and I just want to make that clear. And I will have some questions on the conclusion. But let me just throw them out. I will paraphrase a bit. The first question is sort of, is there any sort of documentation supporting this improved level of revenue generation? And it is true that while there are some accompanying documents with the budget, they aren't entirely backing up the scale of the proposed increase. So I guess the question, and this is probably addressed mostly to Raul, is there any additional documentation available that would support the increase that's proposed in the revenue level? I think that's essentially what the question is. And there are, I guess, five of them. So let me do the first and then stop.
Well, the revenues were built on, like I said earlier, based on five major fund drives that will happen beginning this month, September, and it's currently going on. Part of that revenue that's going to, our pledges that can be generated will be collected probably in October and November and will minimally impact the budget. Second, there's the four fund drives being planned by John, December, March, June, and September. He had set some goals for the station to achieve levels of pledges and 80% fulfillment. Hence, and then we incorporated, we factor in the timing of all these payments, our receipts, the actual realization of these pledges, and that's how we determine the revenue, and that is in the listener support collections tab of the budget. Other than that, it was and obviously John has a plan, and he was ready to implement that. And however, he needs to work with the personnel that are being put to full time, so that they could achieve this. That's kind of like a thought process. Other than that, that's basically in John's thought process.
Okay. The second question is more in the nature of a complaint. It is saying that the local station board members do not know the wages and salaries of all paid staff, and they want to know that. Okay, third question. Again, it's basically a complaint, the idea being that we are committing to increasing wages back to full-time for the union staff. And, there's a question about, well, if the revenue does not pop up in the way that we're hoping, we're going to be left sort of holding the bag on that promise, and that's a concern. I think Richard sort of brought that up, and I think we'll just have to kind of leave that on the table. Okay, next question. Is there a plan to add a human resources person? And if so, what is the nature of that plan, and what's the justification for that being needed at WPFW?
I can speak to that. There is already a part-time person that handles human resource duties. Going forward, I don't plan to add another human resource person at this time.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, two more. Then we'll be done with this. Okay, there's a concern, a question about people from other stations pitching during the pledge drives,
and whether that's necessary or helpful because they've been raising money themselves for all these years, including some years ago, and it was successful. So I guess the question is there a justification for the fact that this is improving performance? Or
absolutely.
Is it something that we're trying and we're not sure that it improves performance?
Okay.
And I can you doing it if it doesn't work, that kind of thing.
I can speak to that as well. Since Tuesday, the fund drive was underperforming, and I don't have the numbers, but I can submit that to the community members tonight, actually, because they're going to give me the end-of-day report, and I haven't gotten it yet. But since Tuesday, the fund drive levels with the addition of Christine and Tony Bates, who's the new program director, have increased dramatically. And, I mean, in the thousands to almost tens of thousands ahead of where we were comparatively to the week before. So it has been financially viable for the station. And even though the staff at WPFW have been doing an excellent job, right now we just had to ask for support. Because the bottom line was not to step on anyone else's toes, but just to make sure that we meet budget for everyone. So I don't think that it was done to diminish the abilities of anyone at the station, but it was just done in a support matter. So, and then going forward, we'll be lending out some of our high performers to help at other stations as well. It's just a network call to get some network business done. It was not to diminish anything, anyone or anybody, you know, anybody at the station.
Okay. And the last question from outside, and then we'll be done with this. It was a question regarding, and this sort of factors into some of the discussions we've already had around the KPFK budget and some of the issues there. It was a question about using programs and premiums that are rather high in price, often those associated with Gary Noe, which has gotten the LA station in some trouble this past year. And if you're planning to do that, how heavily you're planning to lean on it, and what does that mean for the budget in terms of the cost of premiums that's been projected here? So maybe you could say a little about high-value premiums and how you're factoring that in to your planning.
Okay. For going forward, now in this particular fund drive, because both Tony and I kind of got dropped into it and we've been doing some emergency scuffling, we're using whatever the premiums that we could get at the last minute, and I think those premiums we are using right now. Going forward, we're going to be analyzing. Another piece that we weren't able to analyze before now is an hour-per-hour analysis of how much money is coming in per hour and what we're doing in that hour. And so if the ratio of revenues to premium is well, we would use those premiums again. If it's not, we won't. But it's all going to be done statistically about how effective they've been. So, and we'll be able to see those numbers because we're making sure, and again, this is as of Tuesday, that we can tell by the hour how things are working. So we'll know if it's worth it or not.
Okay. All right. I have a couple of questions, but I don't want to monopolize things. So continuing with Q&A, other members of the committee?
Manager.
I had a quickie.
Okay. That was Manager, and who has the quickie?
This is Marcus.
Mine is quick, too.
Oh,
okay. Marcus, hang on a sec. Let's go to Manager first.
Yeah.
Hello. My question, I have heard a number of times about 80% fulfillment of pledges. I would like to see if the history of WPFW supports that in terms of pledges, because when I compare with what's happening at GAI, despite all the improvements, I don't see 80%. Thanks.
I don't know that I understood that question.
I am asking if when people say that the fulfillment rate of the pledges would be 80%, meaning if one people together at the end of the fund drive, they say $1 million, then it would be $800,000 that actually comes to the station. I would like to see if the history of fundraising of WPFW support that expectation for 2014. Thanks.
Okay. Raul, can you answer that? Because I don't have that historic information.
Yeah, I don't have the exact information because John was prepared to answer questions with this, and then this thing happened. This is just switch over. But I know that it was very low, and because I know I asked about that, the fulfillment from previous year. And I said, what made you think that you're going to get more, higher 80% than, the previous year? And they said, well, the previous year was kind of, a really bad year, and because of the they didn't have enough manpower, and also so all the other issues that he's dealing with at the station. So basically, he used 80% as an improvement to historical, and that's what I know that it was lower. I can't remember exactly what was it before when he presented his budget.
So what fulfillment rate are we working at for this budget? We should know that much.
80%. Yeah.
We're working at 80%, and so the question is how that relates to previous years. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
That's a rational question, and that's something we should know the answer to. Okay, Marcus is next on the staff.
This is just kind of an informed clarification, or you can consider it my question as well. I think. When you were reading the questions from the outside, I think the intent, and he may not have stated it properly, of the question regarding the human resource coordinator is, at a station with only 9 FTEs, do we feel we're well served by having a human resource coordinator at all? Is that a position that is well served, given the all things considered?
Okay, well, let me make a comment there, which is that to the extent possible, and I know everybody has opinions and everybody should have opinions, but to the extent possible, the National Finance Committee focuses on the numbers and not on individual employee job descriptions or individual employee salaries. In other words, what we're trying to ascertain here is whether the total amount spent is appropriate that's being allocated for salaries and personnel, how it's allocated between individual people for what job functions is really a management question. So we can't entirely get into the issue of should you or should you not be spending money on an HR person. What we can do if we're going to do something is we can say you can't spend $779,000 on personnel costs this year. You're going to have to spend less. Okay. That's sort of the bridge between what we do for financial oversight and what managers do. So I hope that's clear. And, you know, we're certainly happy to hear, you know, an answer to the question. But it wouldn't be within our bailiwick to say no HR person chop. The only thing that would be within our bailiwick is to say this number is too high. The total amount spent in the personnel area will have to be less. If we wanted to say that, which we haven't said. Okay.